I said I thought Zion Williamson had GOAT potential.
Oh, Lord.
Come from 32 down to beat the Spurs 143 to 140. Jason Tatum, 60 points in the game.
Welcome back to the Banner Team Podcast.
How are we? We are back.
It's been too long.
November 27th, 2021. We've not uploaded, not recorded since about November 25th. It's been a long time. And I know it's like we obviously scheduling issues, but also the fact that the Celtics kind of weren't good.
Yeah, they were not a fun team to talk about or watch for a while.
It's not like us being like, well, it partially is. It's us being like, they sucked. There was nothing to talk about. We're hopping on the bandwagon again that they're good now. It's also, I didn't really want to come in week after week. Ultimately, even in like mid-December, we're like, do you want to start talking about like the Patriots? Because we don't want to come in week after week and talk about how Ime Udoka needs to be fired and how they need to trade everyone and sell the team.
Yeah.
That just didn't sound like something I want to do. But I don't know what clicked. I don't know what happened. Because Ime Udoka is arguably a top 10 coach right now.
Jaylen Brown put some curse on the league. His tweets.
Jaylen Brown tweeted, "The energy's about to shift. We're 13-2 since that."
I think that was January like 31st, and then like February we just dominated. We were the best team in the league in February.
Oh, the best team in the league. It wasn't even close in February.
Ridiculous.
I saw the StatMuse tweet. StatMuse tweeted like the Celtics were 18-21. They had chemistry issues. Players were calling each other out. Coaches were calling each other out. Everyone was saying to split up the Jays to trade multiple pieces, and now they're 39-27, and they're one of the best teams in the league. And they're like, that's got to be the greatest turnaround like ever.
Yeah,
I don't think it's close.
I mean, we have to see where it goes, like, because this season's far from over.
Oh, it's far from over. But my one problem and the one thing I'm scared of is I remember last year watching the games, and then they had that April where they were the best team in the league. Like, they were unbeatable in April. They rolled through the Warriors. They rolled through the Nuggets, the Lakers. And I was like, oh, my God, we're back. We're good again. And then they dropped the rest of the season. They, like, just forgot how to play basketball. And that's what I'm worried about. But honestly, looking at this team, I don't think that's going to happen.
Right now we're fifth in the conference with the same amount of wins as the Bulls, one less win than the Bucks, same amount of wins as the two-seed Sixers, who just have a lot less losses, and the Heat are just running the show right now. But
the thing with that is, honestly, we could, and I mean this with, like, no bias, like, it obviously has somewhat bias in it, but I say this, like, completely, the Celtics would be the one seed right now if Jason Tatum and Ime Udoka did not troll for the first half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I love my Tatum, but
Tatum does the same thing every year, and this is why, like, putting him in the top 10 is so hard to do. Tatum in the second half of every season is 100% top 10 player.
Mm.
No doubt in my mind, every season, the second half, he's a top 10 player. It's the first half. The first half of every season, he's terrible. And that's the one thing that's like if he can go into, if there's just one season where he can stroll in and, like, just start off hot, that's all I ask for. If he can, like, play the whole season really well and not play terrible the first half, because it's the same thing every year.
It's like the Russell Westbrook cycle, where he'll, like, be, like, he'll have stretches where he's really good and then really bad, and you can predict when they're going to happen.
You can't predict them at all. Like, recently he's been on fire. I mean, he's averaging well over 40 points in March. I mean, I know we played like three games, but well over 40 points. He's, even since February, he's averaging like 25 points. That's all we can ask for, really. Just, you know, it wasn't doing anything good in the first half of the season. November and December Tatum was so hard to watch.
That's, yeah, I mean, that was, the entire Celtics were hard to watch, though, and we made a couple moves, got rid of some inconsistencies in Dennis Schroeder and Josh Richardson, which we'll get to later.
Well, I think it's also, like, I think those guys were really good. I think Schroeder was 100% gone on the trade deadline. I think there was no way he was making a pass the trade deadline with us, no matter how good of a team we were. We could have had one loss. I think they still would have shipped his ass out. The thing with the trade deadline is I think we still would be at the point where we are, even if we didn't make those moves. It's the fact that when we went in the trade deadline, the day later when we played the Nuggets, I had the one worry was making these moves going to shift this team? Is it going to make them bad again? And it hasn't. Granted, they were on a winning streak, and now they've lost two since then, but still. That's really good. And they'll probably, knowing Brad Stevens, Josh Richardson will be in green again next year.
That's probably true. Hold real quick, I just want to say this. I was looking at the standings, I was thinking, there is honestly not a team on this, maybe the Heat, that I don't think we couldn't, I just phrased it really terribly, there's not a team on this that I think we couldn't beat in a 7-game series.
No, there absolutely isn't. The one issue is even the Heat. The Heat, when fully healthy, I know it was like the fifth game of the season, they didn't even score 80 points against us. This is the trolling Celtics. They didn't score 80 points. Oh, you know, a couple weeks ago, Max Strus lit up. Who did we have playing in that game? I know for sure Jason Tatum wasn't playing in that game.
Wait, when was this?
When we played the Heat and like Jimmy was out, Lowry was out, Bam was out.
Yeah.
It was like Max Strus and Duncan Robinson led team, and they still scored like 100 points against us. I mean, look, it's the NBA. Any team can just light it up any night, but I'm genuinely not afraid of Miami. No one on Miami is better than Jason Tatum. I think, Jimmy Butler is better. Did people forget that the NBA, you're supposed to be scoring? Like, in the NBA, the goal is to get the ball in the bucket. Mm. Jimmy Butler cannot do that. And I say that he's a good player. He's a great playmaker. He's a good leader. He's a good defender. That man cannot score a bucket for his life. The other day, I'm gonna find this stat. The other day, they played. Let me find it. Jimmy Butler. They played. I think it was the Hornets. Something. They played some team. 6 points on 2-for-14 against Milwaukee. That's horrendous. Against Charlotte, this is the game I was looking for. 15 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists. Whatever. 5-for-24.
Yeah. That's like...
Oh, well, he's a better player because he's a leader and he does playmaking and plays defense. He doesn't actually do those two much better than Tatum right now. I'm going to keep it a real.
I don't think he definitely doesn't rebound better.
Doesn't rebound better.
Playmaking, stat sheet playmaking is better, but not if you actually watch the games.
As of recently, Jason Tatum's been arguably a top two playmaker in the Celtics.
Yeah. Also, to add to that, the Heat don't, like, and you could make the, like, you make the argument they're a very balanced team, which is why they're, like, you know, this is stats going to seem kind of imbalanced, but... their top two scorers are Jimmy Butler with 21 points per game and Tyler Herro with 20 points per game. That's, you know.
I mean, yeah.
So something to think about.
The thing about Miami is that, like, they don't have, like, scorers. Like Tyler Herro, I guess, is, like, your scorer. But, like, they just run, like, 12 men deep.
That's what I'm scared of.
Last year's team didn't. Last year's team absolutely didn't. The year before that, I mean, even up to, like, the 12th man on the roster would have been like our like eighth man or seventh or eighth man last year.
Like, but to be fair, you can make the argument the Celtics that our top two scorers, Tatum with 26, Brown with 23, and then after that you have like Smart with like 11. So you can make this, you can make some argument the Celtics that we're not deep enough. But
what's our? It's 20. It's probably like it's 26 for Tatum, 23 for Jaylen, and then like 15 for Derek White, 12 for Smart.
Well, no, on the Celtics, Derek White's been 11.8.
Fair. And then, what is it, Smart with 11?
Smart 12, yeah.
Smart 12, and I think Rob's like 9 points. I don't think Rob's averaging a double double. I think he's like nine. He's either 10 and 9 or 9 and 10.
Oh, he's like Rob is 10 and then 10 points and 9.8 rebounds.
He'll average a double double by the end of the season.
Hopefully.
Horford, what's Horford like? 9 and 9 and 6.
10.2 and 7.7.
Yeah, he's been good lately. He finally found it again. It took him long enough. Jesus, he was going through the Hightower phase. Oh my god.
Yeah, that was. I always remembered him as like being like a really good like sniper if he's wide open, he can stretch the floor, and then just something happened. It just didn't click anymore.
But now
it does.
Him recently, if he's from the top of the key or in the corner, he's not missing. I don't think he cares who's on him. If it's like the game, we're recording this Sunday night. This will be uploaded Monday, which we're going back to that schedule. That whatever. That game against today against Brooklyn. I don't know why I blanked. Every time Kevin Durant switched on to him for offense, I thought he was going to shoot a three every single time. Like, immediately I see Al Horford switch on to Kevin Durant, I'm expecting a three every single time. And half the times he did, it was like clockwork. But yeah. Tatum kind of had him in hell today, Katie, in like the few possessions.
Yeah, but we were also, to be fair, we also kind of double teamed because you could see at the end, we would have two guys run up to him and then have like a little trap going, and then you just have them play close our defense on like the corner three.
Which I didn't really understand. Like, I get, you know, you want to double team the guy who has 37 points. You always want to double team that guy. But, like, who would we not double team? I mean, who would we leave open in that scenario? Seth Curry is one of the best shooters in the league. Bruce Brown was having a phenomenal game. I don't care how bad he's been this season. Bruce Brown was having a fantastic game. Andre Drummond, we're not doubling with Robert Williams. Andre Drummond can't be left open. He'll dunk. Or Nick Claxton, whoever they had in the paint.
Yeah.
Kyrie Irving, obviously you can't leave him alone.
Yeah.
Who did I name? Did I name five? Am I forgetting someone? Kyrie, KD, Drummond, Bruce Brown, Seth Curry. Yep.
LaMarcus Aldridge, too.
LaMarcus Aldridge. You can't leave him open because his mid-range is unstoppable and his inside game is also unstoppable. So when you're doubling, you need to think, like, who are we leaving open here? And for the most part, it's usually Bruce Brown. Which, honestly,
I mean, the strategy ultimately worked, though, because, like, we won. Only because of how good we were at scoring, but we just outscored them, really.
Which is weird. Because the majority of the season, the Celtics' wins have come from defense. It's been weak. Our offense isn't that good, but we'll kick your ass with our defense.
Yeah, we have like one of the best defensive ratings in the league this season.
We have the best defensive rating in the league. We're the best defense in the league, the number one defense in the league, which is interesting. It's like their offense, if their offense like picks up and looks like it did. They didn't beat Brooklyn today because of their defense. Their defense is good. We just had Jason Tatum on the other side of the ball. Jaylen Brown didn't have that good of a game. Marcus Smart had a good first quarter and then kind of dipped. Robert Williams, I mean, our ceiling is completely dependent on what Robert Williams does. If he becomes like Shaq 2.0, yeah, then we're going finals. But, like, if he, you know, just exists like he did against Embiid last year and, like, breaks down, he gets three fouls, that's a problem.
Well, it doesn't help that, like, he's kind of on limited minutes and he can't, like, you know, he can't push himself too much because of how injured prone
is. Is he not on limited minutes anymore?
No, but he's still, I think he was advised to not push himself too much to the point where he's going to start getting injured repeatedly again.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been that injured this season. You can really, with the Celtics team, is really how you can tell a casual NBA fan from another. I mean, or like a casual Celtics fan, if someone's like, oh, Robert Williams is too injury prone, he's missed like six games this year. This is a guy who, when we signed him to a long-term deal, I was like, I don't know if I want to do this because are we really going to pay money for our starting center to miss like 20 to 25 games a season? And he's missed like six. Unless he like injures himself and is done, then, you know, right now it's perfect. I mean, he's been healthy. He's been exactly what we've needed him to be all season. A giant jump from last year. And then the rest of the roster, Marcus Smart's been really good lately. He's not been, I mean, he's taken more shots, but he's not been like the shot chucker. He takes shots that he knows he can make. It seems like he's been automatic from three lately. His passing is unreal. Unreal. He's like the perfect guy we needed as a playmaker. His defense, he's still probably the best defensive guard in the league. He's, you know, Ben Simmons isn't playing right now.
It's true. And he's not even a
forward, even though
he's they're not going to give him the guard position anymore in Brooklyn, so we shouldn't have to worry about that.
Grant. Hello. I don't know what happened, but you're like him.
I know. But I just cut off like 5 seconds there. But yeah, I just want to say Grant and Grant has been, I don't know. Maybe this is proof that bullying works.
It's both proof that bullying works and that, like, when you're utilized to your role, first of all, it's three things. Bullying works. When you're utilized to the role that you're supposed to be in, you'll become good. And work, hard work pays off. This dude, Grant Williams, lost 15 pounds and worked up. He's a good role player. We didn't want to trade him at the trade deadline. Could you imagine
telling him? Yeah, we had an offer. We had an offer for Dante DiVincenzo.
We could have gone Dante DiVincenzo. They didn't want to get him because they wanted to keep Grant Williams. Could you imagine telling us in February of 2021, hey, we have the chance to get Dante DiVincenzo next year, but the Celtics will not take it because they want to keep Grant Williams?
I would say you're smoking something.
First of all, I would still believe Danny Ainge is in office, and I'd call him and say, what the hell is wrong with you? And second of all, Grant Williams, like, he was so underutilized to what he is now. I mean, they used him as a center in half their lineups, and that didn't work.
Clearly, yeah.
And now they're using him in his correct role. They're pushing him into the corner, making sure his defense is fine. His defense has been great. But they're throwing him in the corner, and he's making his threes. I want him to start. That's not something I wanted last year. I want Grant Williams to start. I want it to happen, but I think, like, what's best for the lineup is Al starts.
Yeah, I don't know. See, my thing is, I feel like Al Horford – I actually kind of agree with that because I feel like Grant Williams is kind of that, like – good role player you have there, like, that fits into the starting lineup without, like, you know, without having to, like, take out a major role. And Al Horford can move the ball well as a big on the bench. So I feel like that'd actually be pretty smart, because then you have Al on the bench as, like, the main big man who can defend, he can shoot, he can spread the ball out. So actually, I think that can make sense, yeah. So
I just think, like, I think we have, like, the second best starting lineup in the league. I just want to go with that.
Yeah, but our bench is, like, bad.
No, our bench has been really good this year compared to last year.
I mean, talent-wise, like, when we eventually have to line up against, like, the Heat, like, if they're healthy in the playoffs.
I still think, granted, they found a rotation that works. What's the rotation?
Yeah, that's true.
It's a starting five. Derek White, Grant Williams, Daniel Theis sometimes, not really, but sometimes Daniel Theis. Daniel Theis, if you've been living under a rock, he's, you know, Celtic again. 5 made baskets since he got here, which is wild. For the amount of minutes he's played, he only had 5 made baskets. He's made like 2 threes. But he had a few free throws today, which has been solid. But Daniel Theis sometimes gets minutes. Obviously Derek White does. Derek White, Williams, sometimes Daniel Theis. I think it's an 8-man. I'm forgetting someone. Oh, Peyton Pritchard.
PPL. I still love Peyton Pritchard.
Peyton Pritchard gets minutes again.
I still love that man.
Which has been He's been really good lately. He had a really bad start to the season, but he's been really, really good lately, which has been wonderful. I mean, we needed someone to – I think their main concern when trading Schroeder was, is Peyton Pritchard going to be good? Is he going to be good enough for us to trade?
He has been. And it's because he didn't get any minutes in, like, that first stretch of the season, which is a problem.
But it's also they added Derek White to play some backup point guard.
Yeah.
So I think they were like, all right, we got 3 guards here. We're good. Which, I like Theis. I think he's a good insurance role for when Rob and Al need to sit. But at the same time, I think they should have traded Schroeder for forward, like Malik Beasley or something.
Yeah, or, I mean, I had something else in my mind. I mean, maybe Bagley could have been considered.
Maybe. I still think, like, you need someone to back up Tatum. I know, like, really when Tatum's out, you keep Brown in. Like, yeah, it works. Or, like, sometimes you take out Tatum, put in Grant. Because even, like, Jay Rich, I know he's a guard, but, like, he was able to back up Tatum. He still plays forward.
I mean, yeah, he can score. He can score the ball, you know. He can do all that. Oh, we could have got Harrison Barnes.
Gary Harris is shooting guard, but he might be available. I'd be cool if he gets available. So another thing with that is with the Celtics. Hold on. What was I gonna say? Oh, Aaron Nesmith. I don't know what's going on in Celtics. Aaron Nesmith. You know, he was like last year. He's shown some things. He's shown some flashes. This year, he's not been that good. He's been actually pretty terrible this year. His three ball's been atrocious.
No, not what we thought it would be. Let's say that.
Three ball's been atrocious. But I was saying, don't give up on him. Because, and this is my specific idea, you don't give up on him yet because if he, or what are the words I'm looking for? You don't give up on him because you didn't give up on Grant year three. You didn't give up on Tatum year three?
Well,
I know Tatum. Well, Tatum's year two was horrendous.
That's true.
For the player he was supposed to be, Tatum's year two was really, really bad. Grant's year two was obviously far worse. Grant's year two was really bad. Peyton Pritchard's year two has been pretty bad. Aaron Neesmith's been really bad this year. But I still think you wait and you're like, we'll give you one more year to show what you did. I think they did that with Romeo Langford. I think they were like, Romeo, we'll give you 1 year if you come out and, you know, play like the guy we drafted you, that late lottery pick, you can stay. But if you don't, you're gone. And his ass is in San Antonio.
I forgot that he was part of that trade. But yeah, I mean, I would say, I honestly thought there was a lot of upside in Aaron Nesmith. I remember when we picked them over ahead of some, like, you know, big name players that didn't end up being all that good. Everyone was kind of, like, iffy on him. I think he has potential, and I honestly think he has potential to be, like his draft comparison was, like, ceiling was, like, you know. Like
I did a scouting report on him. What I saw was the ceiling was Klay Thompson.
That's what I was going to say, yeah, Klay Thompson-esque player.
His floor was, like, the finals version, the 2020 finals version of Danny Green. I was like, this is your ceiling. This is your floor.
Yeah. So, I mean, I still think he has potential, but I don't know. I would say, I feel like he needs to get to have a bigger role, though. And, I mean, he's had moments where he's, like, stepped up in that bigger role.
I mean, yeah, he's also supposed to be a lottery pick. I like him. I think he has the potential. I think he's there. I think he's shown some flashes. I think you give him one more year. It's just Cole Anthony, Tyrese Maxey, we're all taken after him.
Yeah, that's going to happen, though. That's going to happen. There's going to be players, like, I mean, maybe, like, Danny Ainge had some, you know, not great draft moments, but
I feel like sometimes Danny Ainge just snorted a line and said, you have cool highlights. Come here. You're going to be a Celtic.
I mean, yeah, but look at, he also took Rob Williams, who was a steal.
Robert Williams might be the best steal of the last 10 years, which is weird to think about. And it's like a giant take that's out of like left field. So obviously Fred VanVleet was undrafted. Some guys like Isaiah Thomas was the last pick. Robert Williams was picked 27. Less than years wild. He's been the biggest steal since like the Tatum draft.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about it. This guy, he was supposed to be a top 5 pick. He had injury concerns. He dropped all the way to 27. The Celtics grab him and I mean, just watch his first career highlight. Like, his first points was a crazy alley-oop from Marcus Smart. And I think if you, like, rewind that and watch that, you should, like, the first time some people saw that, they're probably like, yeah, this guy's going to be in the league for a long time.
Yeah, and, he, and like, so Danny has his moments, and I think that's why I still have faith in him, though, is that he could develop into a steal. Because, I mean, like, Robert Williams, like, after some of his injuries, like, I think people were like, yeah, this is going to pan out to be pretty bad. But, like, he recovered, and now he's, like, not top 10 center in the league is bold, but, like, he has the play style.
Oh, he's absolutely a top 10 center in the league.
Like, yeah, he has the play style where it's like, if when you watch him play basketball, you're like, this guy's legit. He's the real deal. And then he's only like, what, 24, 25 maybe?
What's the centers? It's Joel, then Jokic. I think those are tied, 1 and 2. I think you can go either way. I don't really care what you think. Cat.
Yeah, Cat. Aiden.
Someone's put out a list. I'm not going to try and look for it. But anyways, just name – the players, those guys, Ayton, Jared Allen,
sure.
Bam's a bit better. Vucevic is kind of on the line for me. I'm not.
Yeah, but they have very different play styles because Robert Williams doesn't go for points. He more goes for like intangibles. Vucevic is more of a stats kind of guy.
Yeah, I'd say Vucevic is like above him right now, but obviously not. But on Capella, I'm definitely missing a bunch of names. Like
Rudy Gobert.
Rudy Gobert is the third best center in the league. I don't know what I'm doing. He's the third best center in the league. Yeah, but obviously those guys.
I just said Rob's the top 10 center in the league.
Rob's probably 9 or 10. No doubt about that.
Which is still very, very, very good, considering where he's drafted.
Yeah. I mean, it's really good. He's a really good player. He's going to be a really good player for a long time. He's literally the same age as Jason Tatum.
That's a pretty good sign. I want or him.
He might be a year younger.
I want him on the Celtics as long as possible, but I still think there's potential to get another big man out there, which kind of leads into like what we're thinking of doing. Like takes that we thought were going to be really good, but turned out really bad.
All right. Before we get into that, I did because. On the topic of, like, with, like, steals and stuff, I went through Brad Stevens, his best moves, like, all his moves, and I counted down, I compared them, like, best, worst, undecided. The only move he's made that was not an absolute win was signing Enes Kanter in the offseason. Every other move he has hit on. Every single one. It's not even funny. Trading Tristan Thompson. Win. Trading Campbell Walker, win.
Definitely a win.
Trading Carson Edwards and Chris Dunn for Juancho Hernan Gomez. Juancho's not good. Neither are the other two. Good trade.
Juancho's also not even the team anymore.
Yeah. Bol Bol trade. Good trade.
Did it pan out? No, but.
Derek White. Josh Richardson. Both Josh Richardson trades. Moses Brown for Josh Richardson is not talked about enough. Moses Brown is not good. He is not a competent NBA player. And we got Josh Richardson for him. To keep going, the Kemba trade.
Yes. And letting go of Evan Fournier.
The smart move. Like I mean, giving smart. I forgot about Evan Fournier. I forgot he was a Celtic. I completely forgot he was a Celtic. That was, like, the weirdest period of Celtics basketball ever. I'm not even going to list stuff else. I'm just saying everyone but NS is a win. But, like, that Celtics period between March to June 2020 was so weird. Jabari Parker was getting minutes. Luke Kornet's still on the team. Luke Kornet was getting legitimate minutes. Mo Wagner. Mo Wagner for four games.
That was a name I've not heard in a while.
We cut him. I remember. So, obviously Jabari Parker. But I specifically remember it was my birthday, April 16th, when we signed Jabari Parker. We cut Mo Wagner the day after one of the almost biggest collapses in Celtics history. We are up 27 with like 6 minutes remaining. Game over. We're all good. Throw in Tremont Waters, Carson Edwards. Throw in all those guys. This dude, Mo Wagner, might have been the worst talent I've ever seen. Like, it was so bad. They chose like Luke Kornet over him, which was hilarious. Luke Kornet's still on the team. And we didn't even mention Sam Hauser at all, who's really good. He's really good in the G League. I'm hoping it like mixes over because he's really, really good from three. Like, if he can be good for us, yeah. And we just picked up Nick Stauskas, which I'm interested in because he had 100 points over a course of two games. So I'm quite interested to see how he...
But yeah, I mean, we kind of just got off to Isaiah Thomas because he's basically doing the same thing in the G League.
My issue with IT... So Nick Stauskas hasn't played in the NBA in, like, 3 years. And, I mean, he was, like, solid. He wasn't that good. But he wasn't that bad when he played. I'm interested to see what he does now because he's a good three-point shooter. Isaiah Thomas, the one I think, like, is a fan favorite. Great. Bring him back. He's a fan favorite. I don't really want him. If I was offered to get Isaiah Thomas, I don't know if I'd take it. Like, if it depends. If I'm getting Isaiah Thomas to play, like, end of rotation minutes, be a veteran leader, be there for, like, the city, do it. Do it. If we're signing Isaiah Thomas to be our backup point guard, get the hell
no.
out.
No,
get the hell
no,
out.
No.
What's Isaiah Thomas' stats recently with Charlotte? I mean, that should, like, tell you the whole story. The other day, like, his first game with Charlotte, I looked at the stats. He had, like, 10 points. 10 points on 4 of 11. He didn't play the next game.
Yeah.
He's not good. He's not.
I mean, yeah, but he had a couple good games in the Lakers, though, right?
He had it, like, all right. He's not efficient, and his defense might be worse than an Escanter.
I mean, yeah, that speaks for itself.
But you know, I'm not all in on it. I wouldn't do it. Anyways, takes. We don't have pictures, but we have, like, some ideas of some of, like, the worst takes we've put out in recent memory. Like, takes that failed, cold takes, stuff like that.
What I was gonna say, I want to go first because what I was gonna say is that revolving around getting centers and stuff, I thought, and there's still a chance, but I thought that James Wiseman was going to be really, I don't know if you remember, but I thought he was going to be really, really good. And he's been injured. In his games that he's played, though, I mean, yeah, he hasn't been. It's like I thought he was going to be like really, really good.
Yeah. Okay, so to go through, the first take that immediately comes off the top of my head. Is I made a post. I was fully confident and I said, hot take, the Celtics will win the 2020-2021 NBA championship.
Bro.
Yeah. What's another one?
Do you have any hot takes that I had that are bad?
I can't think. I said LaMelo wasn't going to be good. I said LaMelo Ball was not going to be a good NBA player because his 3-point shooting was terrible. Which is horrible logic now looking back at it. But that was my take. LaMelo Ball was not going to be a good NBA player because his 3-point shooting is bad. I said Aaron Nesmith was going to be a starter this season by the end of it.
I mean, hindsight, it's an awful take. But honestly, at the time, that was not a bad take.
The amount of Ime Udoka. I think Ime Udoka, like, we should fire him. I think that's just reactionary. I think that's like a take. I think that's just reactionary to how bad the Celtics were playing.
Well, no, because to be fair, I at the time we didn't say fire him at the moment. We said if he has to shape up or ship out, and he did shape up. So it's like,
yeah, okay. So those ones,
in our defense,
fair.
Yeah.
What else did I say? I said my Twitter got suspended. I can't. I definitely have a ton of bad ones on that one. I 100% have a ton of bad ones on that one. Trying to think through recent drafts. I'm not going to say anything on this year's draft class. Last year's, I said that about Lamar. Jalen Smith, Jalen Smith's looked really good when he's gotten minutes, so I'm not even going to, like, say anything because it's, like, kind of undecided.
I thought, who was it? I thought Lonzo Ball. I thought by now he'd be, like, a top 3-point guard in the league.
I thought Chris Paul was washed after his Houston season. I thought he was never going to be a good player again.
Oh, nah.
I thought he was cooked. I thought he was done.
Oh, nah, bro. Hell no, nah, bro. I thought he was cooked. I thought that Kuzma was cooked after the Lakers, but, I mean, he's not.
No, I knew he was going to be good. I knew he was going to be somewhat good, competent. And then
I thought Montrezl Harrell was going to be really, really, really good.
With the Lakers?
Just in general. He's been on, like, 4 teams. I just thought he eventually blossomed into, like, a very, very, very talented player.
That's not happened. Obviously not. He's in Charlotte now. This is his 4th team in 3 years, which is weird to think about because he won 6th man of the year, like, 2 years ago.
Wait, Clippers, Lakers, Wizards. Now, yeah.
And then
that's crazy.
What else was I think I definitely had something that was like wild. Oh, I thought Zion Williamson had goat
potential. Yeah, there it is.
No, not better than Ja. I thought Zion Williamson had goat potential.
Oh Lord.
I'm not getting my Ja take. Oh, I love Ja Morant. Zion Williamson when fully healthy is absolutely better than Ja Morant.
Yeah, but he's not fully healthy, and he won't be better
maybe
than
this year.
Ja Morant is a 27-point-per-game kind of player who's a human high rate, leading his team to the top of the West. Zion is
can you say that number, point per game?
He's not actually 27 points per game. He's a 24.5.
Because Zion was a 27-point-per-game score.
It is like 4 games that he played, yeah.
He played like 75% of last season. 27, 7, and like 4 on 62%. He's going to make the play. He's coming back. He's going to come back within the next few weeks. And I don't think I would be quite scared of the New Orleans Pelicans if I was facing the play. Unless it's Phoenix. Unless it's Phoenix, any team but Phoenix should be like legitimately, maybe Golden State, should be, like, legitimately terrified of the Pelicans if they have to play them in the playoffs. Brandon Ingram has been good. CJ McCollum has been ridiculous. He's been so unnoticed. Their bench has been good. And you're getting Zion Williamson, who's been the most unstoppable paint player since Shaquille O'Neal.
Okay, that's...
I'd be shitting bricks if I'm playing them round one. Like, working your ass off the whole season. And then Zion, could you imagine being, like, James Wiseman coming back for Golden State and trying to guard and just watching Zion Williamson barrel through the lane. Like, could you imagine having to deal, even like DeAndre Ayton trying to deal with Zion?
I think these are some exaggerations because Zion isn't that, like,
yes, he is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he is.
We'll see. Time will tell.
Time will tell, but I think time is, you know, Zion's going to be, he's going to be him again. James Harden, that's another one that I've – James Harden's – I'm not going to say best – I'm not going to say James Harden's the best point guard in the league. I could. I'm not going to make that agenda. He's a point guard.
Okay, well, he's not better than Steph Curry. He's not better than Ja Morant.
Yeah, he's definitely better than Ja Morant.
No, he is not.
He's definitely better than Ja Morant.
Do you watch the games? Oh, my Lord.
I think it's like – if you swap Ja, I think Ja works better when he's, like, alone. Like, I think if you swap Ja and Harden, I don't think the Grizzlies would do as good. But, like, at the same time, I don't think the Sixers would be as good. I think, like, both teams take a fall if, like, they swap.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Because, like, I feel like Ja needs more of a passive big man, like, you know, Jonas Valanciunas and now Steven Adams. He needs those kind of players to have. And Harden needs kind of, like, a
– Harden needs someone who can stretch the floor. Like, if Harden is spacing and, like, a solid, like, lob threat center, he's the best player in the league. Obviously, that's exaggerated. I meant that as, like, I was saying Jason Tatum was the best player in the league today.
Yeah.
But, like, James Harden, when he has – which I love watching.
Well, like, if you remember, like, when he had Clint Capela in the Rockets and he could run the pick and rolls, like, but imagine Clint Capela with a three-pointer.
I loved watching him troll those final Nets games, though. That was so funny watching him just joke around those final Nets games. I knew for a fact he wasn't taking those games seriously. When he pulled up in the fat suit and put
was
up
it, full... was it an actual fat suit?
No, obviously not. He just like looked that way. But when he pulled up in like the fat suit and put up 4 points in a game, that's immediately when I was like, this dude is trolling. I was like, there's no way he's that cooked. Cause literally like a month earlier, when was the trade deadline? Like early February? Cause I knew he was cooked, like I knew he'd be good. Let me just find what I'm saying. He was that week from Christmas to like the beginning of January, he was averaging like 30 points a game. And that was my, oh man, this he's back. Brooklyn's gonna make a run again. And then he just like stopped trying. And then I looked at it and I was like, he's doing the thing he did with Houston again.
Yeah.
He does this weird thing, and I love him to death. But he does this weird thing where he's like, I don't want to be here, so I'm going to suck. But there's going to be a stretch of games where I'm going to show you I can actually hoop. But for the rest, I'm going to play terrible. And he did exactly that. He went to Philly, and everyone's like, oh, Tyrese Maxey's going to look terrible. He's going to put up, like, 12 points on, like, 30 shots. And he goes in, he puts up, what, like, 27, 12, and, like, 8?
Makes Tyrese Maxey look like a top like
Tyrese Maxey looks so much better. I mean, he's even the next game he put up like a 29 point triple double against the Knicks. This dude Harden is so good. It's not even funny. And he's probably the top two playmaker in the league. I'd say him and number 77 over there in Dallas. But anyways, we're going to wrap this up. Next time, speaking of Luka, next time we record, Kevin Garnett's jersey will never be worn again by a Celtic.
Yep.
It's weird to think about. It's kind of weird to think about the number 5. Celtics got to start unretiring some jersey numbers. We're going to be running out of jersey numbers
soon. We're like the Yankees.
Broderick Thomas is wearing number 97. Who the hell wears the number 97? What? That's such a weird number. I've seen like 6 guys wear the number 20 over the past few years.
That's true. That is actually so facts.
I've seen so many guys wear the number 20. Number 9 got reused twice this season. Whatever. You get the gist. We're wrapping it up. I have a lot of editing because we've gone through 3 of these that have just canceled out. So I have a lot of editing. But we're going to start doing this weekly again.
So let's start the Celtics. So peace out.
Peace.